So that's really the question we're going to try to answer for you on the panel here is we have representative of one of the big four accounting firms, so they can help, she can help tell us where the herd is running. And then we have Kyle, who said, I'm not running with the herd, I'm making my own reasonable good faith interpretation. And so now we have to hear from you to know what, it's a battle for your soul. Where are you going to go? Haven't decided yet.
Yeah, we've looked at, the notice and the reasonable method. And I think, we've talked to other universities, we've had peer group calls, and nobody's made decisions yet because, the form's not final. We're hoping for further guidance. We're hoping it'll just go away a little bit. But when, we look at the bucketing and the investments in particular, what we did this year was we re-looked at our NAICS codes and what we were using and our different sort of trade or business activities. I think most colleges think of what they report on their return as having a sort of line of business, like a hotel, parking to external people, advertising, rental income. And you kind of just automatically think of those as buckets. So some universities are going down a rabbit hole of, is this hotel, is this separate, rental income, is this separate sort of conferencing income, and then separate parking income. So you could have three different types of NAICS codes for that, or it could just be a hotel. And then another university could have the same hotel business, same lines of income, and treat it as something different because you're using the six-digit codes. So we tried to make it as small of digit as possible, reasonably, and so that we could combine them. So we might have an x-ray lab and a chemistry lab. So we're both renting to external users, but they're the same NAICS codes, so they're going to be bucketed together. And I think if you think of it proactively like that, then you can maybe create silos that are more than just one activity that we would commonly think of as one activity. It's just more of a reasonable, broad method as opposed to trying to really figure out what each type of activity is. Again, absent further guidance, we're trying to do as much as reasonable as possible and keep the administrative burden as low as possible.
In fact, I would say that would be the same approach we would take, would be, all right, if I can't have one bucket, I want to have as few buckets as possible. And then I think at some point we'll talk about some non-buckets. But in looking at trying to group activities, I guess the University of Texas, I have 14 campuses. And I guess currently the way we've looked at our UBIT activity is on an institution-by-institution basis. We didn't really have any reason for wanting to look at the activities any further. We make a high-level determination, is it subject to UBIT or not? And if it's not, then it's not on the return. Then we have an institution, and largely that was for internal tracking purposes, so the different institutions could see their exposure. And I guess the whole issue with the net operating losses that have been accumulating for various activities and who's been using them, it was the way we administratively reported it. Going forward, though, we're going to have to come up with a different methodology to do this. And my kind of initial thought was we have a process in place where we have a non-financial questionnaire that's submitted, and we're going to add some sort of I don't know if it's going to be the code or if it's just going to be some letter that we're going to create categories for, but somehow within those determinations, we're going to code each of our current operational UBIT generators and have those go into some silo, once again with the intent that there be as few as possible under a reasonable basis interpretation of the statute, notwithstanding whatever is said in Notice 2018-67. But then again, I guess this could all change if we got regulations out, although from listening to some of the other comments that we've heard, I'm not sure that we're going to get any regulations on this anytime soon. So my personal, approach to this will be, reasonable good faith standard. I'm, as an attorney, I interpret the law based on the facts that are presented and, see where I come out.
And speaking of your running with the herd comment, what if we all did one bucket?
Yeah.
What could they do?
Right. Well, I guess it depends on what that one bucket is. I mean, if it's if we're talking about the investment question, that's one thing. If it's the other types of activities that universities do, I mean, is there? I wonder, you know, what the total universe of those is. When the IRS sent out that questionnaire a few years back, they had around 15 to 20 categories of activities that they were looking at. So it's not really a huge universe of trades or businesses that colleges and universities have. But to your point, you know, what if we all do something similar? I think, you know, that's itself helpful evidence for what is reasonable. Isn't that what your mother told you? If someone else told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it?
Yeah. If it looked fun, maybe.